Chapter 9. Mine, I shall think with pride, that I continue to have some share in the life of a gallant and generous man. For the second time in my life she kissed my hand. I made so bold, for the first time, as to kiss hers, and I tied the ring at my breast, and I fell back to my place. Then, the horse litter went out at the gate with Sergeant Bruce in it, and the horse litter went out at the gate with Mrs. Belton in it, and Lieutenant Linderwood gave the word of command, quick march, and, cheered and cried for, we went out of the gate too, marching along the level plain towards the serene blue sky, as if we were marching straight to heaven. When I have added here, that the pirate scheme was blown to shivers, by the pirate ship which had the treasure on board, being so vigorously attacked by one of His Majesty's cruisers, among the West India Keys, and being so swiftly boarded and carried, that nobody suspected anything about the scheme until 3/4 of the pirates were killed, and the other 1/4 were in irons, and the treasure was recovered. I come to the last singular confession I have got to make. It is this. I well knew what an immense and hopeless distance there was between me and Miss Marion. I well knew that I was no fitter company for her than I was for the angels. I well knew that she was as high above my reach as the sky over my head. And yet I loved her. What put it in my low heart to be so daring, or whether such a thing ever happened before or since, as that a man so uninstructed and obscure as myself got his unhappy thoughts lifted up to such a height, while knowing very well how presumptuous and impossible to be realized they were, I am unable to say. Still, the suffering to me was just as great as if I had been a gentleman. I suffered agony. I suffered hard, and I suffered long. I thought of her last words to me, however, and I never disgraced them. If it had not been for those dear words, I think I should have lost myself in despair and recklessness. The ring will be found lying on my heart, of course, and will be laid with me wherever I am laid. I am getting on in years now, though I am able and hearty. I was recommended for promotion, and everything was done to reward me that could be done. But my total want of all learning stood in my way, and I found myself so completely out of the road to it, that I could not conquer any learning, though I tried. I was long in the service, and I respected it, and was respected in it, and the service is dear to me at this present hour. At this present hour, when I give this out to my lady to be written down, all my old pain has softened away, and I am as happy as a man can be, at this present fine old country house of Admiral Sir George Carton, Baronet. It was my Lady Carton who herself sought me out, over a great many miles of the wide world, and found me in hospital wounded, and brought me here. It is my Lady Carton who writes down my words. My lady was Miss Marion. And now, that I conclude what I had to tell, I see my lady's honored gray hair droop over her face, as she leans a little lower at her desk, and I fervently thank her for being so tender as I see she is, towards the past pain and trouble of her poor, old, faithful, humble soldier. Footnotes. 1. Dickens didn't write the second chapter, and it is omitted in this edition. In it the prisoners are firstly made a ransom of for the treasure left on the island, and then managed to escape from the pirates. End of Project Gutenberg's A Text of Perils of Certain English Prisoners. Possibly by Gutenberg Edition.